Good morning. We'll call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Monday, February 11th, 2008. Today I have with me Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, and Senator Elton. The rest of the members should be showing up shortly. The only item on today's calendar is the supplemental appropriation. The total of the supplemental is a staggering $257 million with $205 million in general funds. I'd like to invite the OMB Director Karen Rayfield to the table. I understand that there's a committee hearing and one department needs to go first, but the process today we will go through by department. And at the end of the presentation, anyone having questions on that department will take those while the presenter's at the table. With that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Rayfield. Welcome to Senate Finance.
Good morning.
We have been joined by Senator Dyson.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Karen Rayfield, Office of Management and Budget. Appreciate the opportunity to present.
And we have been joined by Senator Huggins as well.
Thank you. Senate Bill 256 is before you. As you stated, it's $257 million in total funds, $205 million in general funds. Significant components within the supplemental bill before you are the tax credits, $125 million, the senior benefit program, and also the GGU contracts. We'll go through these budgets for your information and to answer your questions, and I'll relinquish the table here to the court system, who would appreciate going first. So thank you.
Please come forward, the court system. Please identify yourself for the record. Proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Chris Christensen, Deputy Administrative Director of the Alaska Court System, and I would like to thank you and OMB for allowing us to go first. We do have a closeout starting shortly. The court's item 88 in the committee's spreadsheet is a capital supplemental request for $629,000.
Which page are you on?
It's item 88, I believe, on the spreadsheet. It's in section 10 through 12 of the bill.
All right.
It's for $629,000 for construction on the fifth floor of the Rabinowitz Courthouse in Fairbanks. This was supposed to have had the fast track effective date, but was inadvertently given the other effective date. Mr. Chairman, as you know, the Supreme Court regularly travels to Fairbanks and Juneau to hear cases. The court currently has a member working in Juneau, and from 1965 until 1997 had a member working in Fairbanks. When the legislature authorized the lease purchase of the Rabinowitz Courthouse 10 years ago, the design called for only four floors of the building to be completed. The fifth floor was going to be an empty shell that could be used for future expansion of the trial courts and for a future Supreme Court justice. Last year, Governor Palin appointed a Justice Daniel Winfrey from Fairbanks. His chambers will be in the Fairbanks courthouse. Currently, there's a Superior Court vacancy, and he is using that judge's chambers as his space. The governor will be appointing that new Superior Court judge in a few weeks, and at which point in time, one of those two gentlemen will be working out of a vacant conference room. Build out for this is about 5 or 6 months, and it would certainly be very, very helpful, Mr. Chairman, if we could get started on this in the supplemental process rather than waiting for money in the regular capital budget.
Are there any other items for the court system?
I believe the Judicial Council has an item, sir.
All right.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Larry Cohn. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Judicial Council. We are asking, Mr. Chairman, this is our first supplemental budget request in more than 25 years, and it's driven by the fact that there have been a very high rate of judicial vacancies. As I'm sure you know, the council's involved in screening applicants, nominating the most qualified applicants to the governor for appointment to the bench. Our budget anticipated historically four vacancies a year, So far in FY08, we have 8 vacancies, and I think it's reasonable to anticipate in the remaining part of the fiscal year that we may have at least one more. This is at least 2 vacancies, three vacancies more than our budget can accommodate.
Do you have a section number?
I'm sorry. On the spreadsheet on page 8, it's number 76. And our request is for a little under $64,000 that will enable us to fill these vacancies without deferring them into the next fiscal year and leaving positions vacant. And I know the legislature's been concerned about case disposition times, and this is probably one of the cheapest investments the state could make to making sure that cases are decided quickly and positions don't remain vacant, judicial positions. So that's.
Mr. Chairman, what number was that?
Number 76 on page 9.
Page 8, I think it is.
Page 8.
Yeah.
Any questions on this item? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Rayfield?
Mr. Chairman, we'll just go ahead and keep going. We can start with the Department of Administration, if that's acceptable to the committee.
Before they come up, what about the first 1 through 3 and the multiple requests before the administrations?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, the Department of Administration can speak to this also, but that is before you as the bargaining unit agreements for the general government unit. This is represents a 4% wage increase and health insurance increase for this fiscal year. You'll see the total of that is $24 million, $13.4 million of state general funds.
Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eric Swanson. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Administration. As Ms. Rayfield indicated, the first item there is for increases to the General Government Unit contract. This contract was ratified this past October. It's retroactive to July 1 of last year, and as indicated, includes a 4% wage increase and a $16.58 health insurance increase.
We'll go through all of your presentation and see if anyone has questions after you make your full presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next item is on line 5 of the spreadsheet, and here we're not asking for any increased funding, but rather are requesting approval to redistribute funding that had previously been appropriated for increased costs of enterprise technology services chargeback. When we prepared our current year cost allocation plan, we saw that in the case of 3 agencies, costs would actually go down, and in order to adequately provide funding for those other agencies where costs were increased, we needed to do the redistribution as set out here on line 5. Mr. Chairman, the next item on line 6 is a request for $2.4 million, 2.3 of which is general fund, for supplemental funding for the Office of Public Advocacy. And then on the next line, as I'll talk about both of these together, Mr. Chairman, on line 7, there's a request for $820,000 of general fund for the Public Defender Agency. For both of these agencies, Mr. Chairman, the story is caseload and the amount that it grows each year. Caseload is up, business is up at both of these agencies. We also have a situation where the Public Defender Agency has recently become more focused and aggressive on identifying potential conflicts in their cases early on, and when that happens, those cases get deferred to the Office of Public Advocacy. We also have a situation in the Office of Public Advocacy where many of their cases are having to be assigned to private sector contract attorneys, which are typically more expensive, and there's been a large number of higher cost cases as part of this overall increase, which is What's driving the supplemental for both agencies?
Do you have any other items?
Mr. Chairman, I do. Way back at the end of the spreadsheet in the debt service section, it's line 193. I'm sorry, line 192. We had appropriated in this current year budget funding for debt retirement for our Atwood Parking Garage project, and actually, as it turned out, had requested too much. The amount of our debt retirement in the current year is $535,105.53, and so we are asking to have the appropriation reduced to the amount necessary for our debt retirement payment.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Do we have any questions from the Department of Administration? I have one on the on Office of Public Advocacy. I was under the impression that the request was going to be substantially lower than this amount. And do you know why the amount is what it is, the 2.3 million?
Mr. Chairman, I believe we have the Director of the Office of Public Advocacy, Josh Fink, online, and he may be better able to speak to the specifics of that.
Are you online, Mr. Fink?
Mr. Chairman, I am online.
Could you address that issue, please? Identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Josh Fink, the Director of the Office of Public Advocacy. Mr. Chairman, we just experienced much larger than expected increases in caseload. And again, this was primarily due to aggressive and consistent conflict analysis at the public defender. And just a little background so you might better understand this. Earlier this fiscal year, there were a number of cases that either on the eve of trial or in one case after they started picking a jury, where the public defender agency realized they had represented in the jury case the victim, and the other cases witnesses had to conflict out. These are high-end cases. These are the unclassified A felonies, and consequently, the public defender, to his credit, directed all of his attorneys to reanalyze all of their cases for conflicts. And as a result, we got just an extraordinary number of cases coming from the public defender. Many of these cases, the public defender had for years, so we came in late in the game. The generally more complicated cases, so for instance, we're up in Anchorage 43% on our unclassified. Our A felonies are up about 100%. We just had no way to anticipate we were going to see this sort of increase. My staff has not been able to absorb all of these cases, and I've had to send a larger percentage of them to private contractors, and though I'm paying a third to a half of their market rate, they still are more expensive than staff attorneys.
Thank you for that explanation. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And obviously these increases in frequency of the cases is certainly not due just to generally to a population increase. So we hear a lot about, you know, intervention and trying to stop some of these things from happening. Is there any work that takes place within in the department to at least try and gather information to pass along so we can, I realize it's a social issue and may not necessarily be that direct responsibility of the department, but it certainly is area or departments plural wide to try and figure out why things like this grow felonies in particular 158%. And I don't know if it's just because some of the laws we changed out here make more things felonies, I'm not sure, but is there anything done to try and get a handle on it a little bit so we can maybe affect some kind of change?
Through the chairman, Senator Thomas, we do have a new case management system that is allowing us to collect additional data, and I know the Public Defender Agency will go online with the same case management system here in March. I don't have that data now, and anecdotally, you know, I know we've added over the past few years a number of new prosecutors, cold case prosecutors, rural prosecutors focused on crime in rural areas, and then we've seen conduct that, you know, previously was misdemeanor conduct become felony conduct with change in laws in Juneau. That has an impact, but I don't have any solid data in front of me to explain that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Further questions? I have one. Ms. Rayfield, on the GGU unit, a 4% increase. Do you have any information as to what the status of the other bargaining units are? And will we see any requests this session for funding, any that might be coming forward?
Mr. Chairman, I do know that the Department of Administration is working with the outstanding bargaining units to try to bring those before you this session, and I do believe that we will see something that we'll bring forward.
Thank you. Senator Elton. All right. Any further questions on the Department of Administration? Seeing none.
We'll go to the Department of Commerce.
Morning, gentlemen and the committee members.
Can you identify yourself for the record?
I'm Samuel Thomas, Director of Administrative Services, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. We have some supplemental requests. I am going by the list provided to you. The first page, line 8. That's Alaska Energy Power Cost PCE. PCE is increasing the funding by $1.2 million from the $26,760,000 to $27,960,000. This is mainly due to the increased cost of the fuel prices. And they were looking at the formula and everything, and the this year, I think the cost is going to be, you know, based on the current maximum PCE level is now 37.65 cents per kilowatt. Currently, there are 25 locations, you know, at this level. In the meantime, cost below 12.87 cents per kilowatt and above 52.5 cents per kilowatt are not eligible for PCE. The each community has a maximum community facility credit of 70 kilowatt or per month multiplied by the community population. The community facilities include washout area, water pump station, street lights, community center, city and tribal council offices and clinics. In FY07, there were 22 communities that consistently reached their kilowatt capacity for community facilities.
Please proceed with all of your items, and then we'll open it up for questions at the end.
The next item is line 9, banking and securities. Their estimated legal cost, legal and administrative hearing cost above the funding level of the fiscal note of 162, that is the mortgage bill. When the mortgage bill was passed in the last year, they did not take into the legal cost into consideration. Therefore, that cost is going to be included in this $95,000 request. Another important matter here, it is the ANCSA. ANCSA, if a major expense will occur, if Division of Banking and Security decides in a merited case to set aside proxies because of a Security Act violation, then in turn that a new election will be held. Any order requiring a board election can be expected to general fees in excess of these spending costs. Another reason was the legal cost with the Department of Law is increasing. The last year we had spent, I believe, approximately $120,000, and This year, we are going to have a full-time attorney. Maybe we will add another one more attorney that will increase the cost, increase the legal cost. The next item is the line 10, insurance. Insurance requested $140,000. That $140,000 is just because of their investigation. It takes more time now. It's 25 to 30% longer. That is just because the modern technology has really improved. That requires more time to investigating any kinds of legal cases. Also, increasing the number of regulated entities. Technology has made licensing more efficient, as many of the agent and firm licenses are now done electronically. Thus, it is easier for agents around the country to become licensed in all states. Therefore, it requires more time for the division of insurance into, especially when they get involved with the legal issues. And insurance products and entities that markets and sell them have become increasingly complex. The next item is line 11 on page first, RCA. RCA's legal cost is keep going high. The last in FY06, I think it was the legislature approved almost $1.6 million. Now it's almost only $213,000 left in that appropriation. Actually, they get a lot of this unanticipated cost from the utilities. The right now, what's going on there, it is a petition to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission by the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System carriers challenging the jurisdiction of the RCA and its authority to regulate tariff. Also, these court appeals can take several years, therefore it can be very difficult to protect, difficult to predict the length and the cost of these appeals. In the past, some litigation costs were funded by not filling the positions because it was also for them to find very qualified person to do the RCA jobs. The next item on page 8, line 82.
What's the section?
The section number 10-12. Prescription drug monitoring program. The prescription drug monitoring program requests a 49.5 federal funds authority. In the beginning of federal fiscal year 2002, Congress appropriated funding to the U.S. Department of Justice to support the prescription drug monitoring program. This helps to prevent and detect the diversion and abuse of pharmaceutical controlled substances. Currently, the investigators are spending 2 to 3 months of their time to get all the data before they issue license to pharmacists or doctors, any kinds of medical field. Now, if this passes, that will cut down their time maybe to 2 to 3 weeks because they had to get the data from different states, different, what kind of medicines they prescribed to individuals from pharmacists or doctors' offices. Therefore, this bill will in my understanding here, it is almost 15 states are already adopted this prescription drug monitoring program. The next one is line 83, section 10 to 12. It's an organizational grant. This is for the city of Wrangell. The city of Wrangell is incorporated to a borough. And there will be the Division of Election will be conducting an incorporation election in Wrangell in May. If the voters approve that, then we have 30 days by statute to release the first $300,000 to Wrangell. The next item is a section 10 to 12 and 84 is a $1.1 million. That is a climate change impact mitigation program. A grant program that can be used by imminently threatened communities to address immediate community planning needs. Assistance would be for the most at-risk villages and allow planning for construction of facilities that will be sustainable over time. There was a commission formed, and the chairman of the commission was Representative Ralph Samuels, and he asked the DCCED to provide this Alaska climate impact statement and our recommendations on the potential cost of climate change impact related to erosion, flooding, and melting permafrost. One of the main thing right now going on is the with the department is the permafrost. If the climate changes, that may bring a lot of problems to those communities, especially when the temperature changes, it may not be good for the salmon stream. And another thing here, it is availability of water and for the public. The third one is the coastal community is always dependent on the melting in a snow, the community will not be sustainable. The next item on page 16, section 20A. In the last legislation, there was a...
Sorry, which line item is it?
It is 20-20A section. The line is 168. 168? Yes. Thank you. Last year, legislators appropriated a grant to veterans, and the ending date of that one is for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2008. Therefore, the department requests that to delete that ending date because it is a capital grant and they may not be able to do everything within 1 year. The next one is 169-20B. It is a $34,334 revenue sharing for the community of Whitestone. In the last year, when the Community Energy Assistance Program's appropriation approved, the Whitestone was the only one community in the state been vetoed. It was a result of some kinds of misunderstanding between the department and Office of Budget and Management as to which Whitestone the appropriation was intended. There are two Whitestones. The Whitestone community located outside Delta Junction has been identified by the Division of Community and Regional Affairs and the Local Boundary Commission as a bona fide community meeting all the statutory and regulatory requirements for the community. There is also another Whitestone logging camp located outside of Hoona with a zero population, which does not meet the requirements of a community. Therefore, we are requesting to appropriate $34,000 general fund as part of that community energy assistance program to give it to the city of Whitestone. Thus, next one, I have 20C, line 170, Alaska Energy Authority. It is an Alcan intertie project. The Alaska Energy Authority requested to reappropriate approximately $2.5 million from the Alaska British Columbia intertie project to a project that focuses the funds on completion of the Cake Petersburg intertie project in conjunction with the Alaska British Columbia intertie project. And the Alaska British Columbia Intertie Advisory Group recommended this detailed project, and they also recommended the funding should be dedicated to parallel development of Alaska British Columbia and Cake Petersburg Intertie projects with the priority to development of a Cake Petersburg project. The next item is line 171-20D, Quality Trade Association contract. Every year we have in our operating budget a $5,100. This year we are asking a reduction of $800,000. The main reason to ask that, they could not generate matching fund for the state $5,100. One of the main reason here it is because the last year the cruise ship tax was passed, and therefore the cruise industry was telling the ATIA, Alaska Tourism Association, that they cannot give that money anymore because they pay too much money taxes to the state. So they couldn't come up with enough match in 08. They are also requesting the same thing in 09, you know, take out $800,000. The next line line is 172. Commerce 20E scope change. We had two different grants. One is a community block grants, another one is community development grants. The community development grants deal with a lot of small grants, almost $11.6 million. And it involved coastal zone management program, FEMA, multi-use for facilities grant and mini grants. What's happening right now, Mr. Chairman, we are getting a lot of federal grants with a broad scope. In other words, it's not just grants only, it could be contractual type of expenses also. Therefore, we request to change the scope of the development grants as community development assistance, so we could charge some of the contractual expenses there. That will be in line with the GAAP requirements, so we can avoid any kind of audit findings in the future.
Any questions?
The last
one.
The last one, we have a page 18, 191, section 27. PCE fund. We are requesting a $700,000 general fund. It is a fund capitalization by $700,000 from $12.9 million to $13.7 million. This will provide more PCE funding due to the increased fuel cost.
Are there any questions on any of the sections that were covered by Commerce? Senator Elton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not a question that needs to be answered here at the table, but I'd like some more information about the $800,000 deduction from FY08 that will then be used for a named recipient grant to ATIA in FY09. If somebody from the department could get back in touch with me, I mean, I'd be interested in knowing more about why. I understand that they're using the cruise ship backing out from their share of the match for ATIA, but I'd like to know what the real match becomes with the transfer of this $800,000. And maybe somebody could remind me at that time, too, whether or not the vehicle rental tax was anticipated for the ATIA mission. So, again, we don't need to answer that at the table unless somebody wishes to, but I'm going to need more information about that one. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And I guess I have concerns as well, because effectively this would remove the requirement for the match and may discourage future match contributions, so I have concerns about this appropriation, and I would like to hear from the department as to whether this will effectively discourage matches from the program. Thank you, Senator Elton.
Mr. Chairman, may I get back that one?
Yes. Thank you, Senator Elton. Senator Stedman.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could we get a kind of a more of an explanation on the PCE changes and, in particular, the cash flow through the year? Because I'm under the assumption in June there's not going to be a lot of fuel required to heat homes versus February and March, which is pretty cold. And
yes, we request the cash flow of those two items. I think the one was section 191, and I think that one has the funding source of the PCE fund, I mean for general funds, and I think the other one was PCE funds. So if we get a cash flow of how that's working, that was section number 8. The one is a PCE fund and the other one was a general fund, how the cash flow works to meet the additional high costs that you had referred to.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Sarah Fishergold is also online.
Yeah, I see her. She's online, but I think if we can get the cash flow for the committee in writing, that would be greatly appreciated.
Yes,
thank you, Senator Stedman. Further questions? I have a question on section 170. You know, this is the Alaska Energy Authority, and I was wondering if this is a renaming a project or is this really a reappropriation to a different project?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, actually that is a reappropriation of the current Alcan Intertie product to the Cake Petersburg.
Can you say that again?
It's a reappropriation of the remaining balance, unexpended and unobligated of the remaining balance of the Alcan. That is the Alaska, British Columbia, into Thai.
Senator Stedman.
On that point, Mr. Chairman, I'm kind of curious why it would be in this in the supplemental.
That was my question. If it is a reapprope, wouldn't be better in an, another vehicle than in the supplemental? So we need to fare that out.
And then, Mr. Chairman, when they're working on that, maybe they could put include some backup material on the Bradfield corridor and a little more on the Petersburg to Cape corridor. Because in reading the bill, it wasn't clear exactly where that funds were going to go as a target. And apparently from the testimony today, it appears that it's going to be a concentrated effort on the Petersburg to Cape. And I think in looking at that, we need to make sure we understand what's going on with the other corridor also.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Further questions for Commerce? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Ms. Rayfield?
Corrections.
Corrections. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Good morning. For the record, Charlene Griffin, Director of Admin Services, Department of Corrections. On page 2, line 12, section 7 through 9, the Department of Corrections is requesting $145,400 for our Correctional Academy. We have had a recruitment campaign for the last couple of years, and we've been seeing more and more success from that. And what we've ended up with is a number of correctional officer ones who are bumping up against the 12 to 14 month APSC requirement for training will be required to hold two more academies this year to get those officers through. Line 13, Institution Director's Office. This supplemental request is $1,852,000, and it is for all correctional facilities statewide. A portion of this request is due to leap year. We have hourly employees, and running the institutions for an extra 24 hours in the year is something we're not budgeted for. $175,000 of that is personal services for leap year, and approximately $30,000 is for supplies. In the contractual line, our utility allocations are falling short. We need 323.1 for fuel oil, 300,000 for electricity, 149.5 for water and sewer, and 22.5 for disposal. Additionally, 650.8 is in the personal services line for overtime at 24-hour correctional facilities, and 406.1 in the supply lines. Line 14, inmate health care. The department is requesting a supplemental for $2,427.3. This is a result of our increased population, catastrophic cases. 945.3 of it is in the personal services line for overtime for health care staff in 24-hour facilities. Our fee for services from vendors is also increasing. The next item for the Department of Corrections is on page 16, line 173, section 21A. We are requesting $45,000 for the community jails component, and we're requesting a term date extension to June 30th of 09 for this. Legislative audit audited the community jails program and recommended that the department come up with a new allocation plan, that jail-related expenditures for each community be reviewed and standardized costs be developed. We're requesting this funding to have a contractor review all of the community jails and come up with a cost allocation plan that is standard for each of them. Line 174, out-of-state contractual. This $50,000 is for a prior year bill from FY 2006, $50,000 that the department was not aware was outstanding and had not been invoiced for. Line 175 is a request from FY 2005 of $400 for the parole board for an outstanding invoice. And line 176 is to replace empty federal authorization with general fund. we've seen a reduction in the number of federal offenders that the department is housing, but the costs of these facilities are fairly static. So we are requesting that that empty federal authorization be replaced with general fund. We had a similar request last year with language stating that we would not spend into this allocation for anything that we collected. And we actually were still $960,000 short last year. And that's the full items for this department.
Thank you. Do we have any questions regarding the Department of Corrections? Senator Carlton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of questions. Charlene, back to page 2, line 12, the Correctional Academy increment. Have you moved the Correctional Academy?
Through the Chair, Senator Elton, we have. The Academy was previously housed with the APD in a building up there. APD was expanding, wanted more of their space, and we moved the Academy to the Palmer State Office building.
And I guess the follow-up question, Mr. Chair, are any of those costs reflected, the moving costs reflected in the $145,000?
No, sir, they are not.
Okay. And
on that, are you finished?
I'm finished with that.
On that item, have those costs for the Academy already been incurred, or are you waiting for approval from the legislature?
At this point, we are waiting for approval. However, if we do not receive these funds and cannot hold academies, we will have to, there will be several officers that will not meet APSC requirements, and we cannot keep those officers if they don't meet those requirements within a specified time frame.
Thank you, Senator Elton.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Your output was greater than my input on line 13, Charlene. How much of the $1.8 million, how much of that is commodities?
There is $406.1 and an additional $30,000 that's related to Leap Day.
Okay. And if memory serves me correct, I mean, there was $900,000 for commodities last year, and there had been an additional request for kind of, this is a pejorative term, and I don't mean it in a pejorative way, but another $250,000 in the institutional director's office that was not funded, so you exceeded even that $250,000. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Elton, yes, we did.
Okay.
Our population has increased beyond what we would have anticipated. From this time a year ago, we're up approximately 300 offenders.
Okay, and then my last question, Mr. Chair, is back to page 16, lines 174, 175, and 176. I mean, they're under the capital component, but I mean, they don't look like capital expenditures to me. I mean, kind of outstanding invoices, and then something that looks like it is an operating expense that may be an ongoing operating expense, $1 million for because of the shortfall in federal beds in the Anchorage complex. I mean, why are those under the capital section rather than the operating section of the budget?
I am not quite sure.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Elton, I believe these are under the operating section. I think because we've jumped a little bit between number sections and language sections for those things that are capital operating, some things are fast-tracked. But I think when you look on page 15, you'll see that we go back to regular supplemental language sections. So it's going to be part of the regular operating appropriation. I'm sorry for the confusion, Senator.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Elton. Further questions? I have one on section 176, the population management. Why are we backfilling this? What was the reason that we did not receive the federal appropriation?
To the chair, there are a few reasons. One being that the federal authorization was overstated in this component. Additionally, we've seen a reduction in the number of federal offenders that the state is housing. Historically, we would house more than the number that we were contracted for. The federal government has procured several private industry beds out of state and seems to be using more of those than housing in different states. So it's a combination of an overstated authorization and a reduction in the number of offenders that we're housing for the federal government.
Thank you. Any final questions for our corrections? Senator Stedman and Senator Huggins.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still a little confused on item 12. On if these have already been incurred and we're just correcting the expenditure or not.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman. We are hoping to be able to hold these academies yet in this fiscal year. These additional academies have not been held, but if we do not hold them, we will be going beyond the timeline that APSC allows for these officers to be certified.
Senator Stegman?
Well, if I'm hearing her correctly, the answer is no, they haven't been expensed yet, but they will be by the 30th of June.
Through the chair, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Stedman. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. line 175. Mm-hmm. I mean, that appears to be a rather laser request, $399 for a back. But if we don't allocate the money, how do you pay for that?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, if you don't allocate the money, we cannot pay this vendor. In FY 2005, the parole board was its own RDU. And so it was a single component RDU. There are no funds left. And we can't cross appropriations.
Okay, so this is a one-time systems default request.
Through the chair, yes it is. Okay,
thank you.
Senator Huggins?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would, on line 12, would like to see the number of people and what, you know, sort of a, I mean, my assumption, we've had a curriculum for correction officers ones for an extended period of time. This says curriculum needs, just whatever that is, because, I mean, my concern is, well, we need to do this, but we're going to have a ramp up in training here in the next 3 to 5 years based on new beds. And we need to make sure this system works for us.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, when it speaks to curriculum, it's additional materials for the additional academies. So it would be paper materials and that sort of thing, as well as ammunition.
Okay, whatever it is, I'd like to see how it breaks out.
Certainly.
And which brings me then to the next item, which is item 13. I would like a breakout of what is in the institution director's office incremental account that we're addressing. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Any other questions regarding corrections? Seeing none, thank you. That brings us to environmental conservation. Please state your name for the record. And
good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mike Maher. I'm the Director of Administrative Services for DEC. We have three supplementals before you this morning. The first one is on page 2, line 15. This is $230,000 in general funds for the governor's sub-cabinet on climate change. And this is basically the support cost for their work.
Please continue. We'll have questions at the end.
Okay, thank you. The next one is page 9, and it starts on line 89, excuse me. This is $2.8 million for the Ocean Ranger program. The funding source is from the Cruise Vessel Fund, the per berth $4 tax. If you remember, Mr. Chairman, we got the department got $1.2 million in conference committee. So our base budget has presently has $1.2 million, and this $2.8 million brings it to $4 million, which is the projected revenues for the program.
Mr. Chairman, could you repeat that line number again?
89.
90. Oh, it's 90. I'm sorry.
Section 90.
Right.
Page 11. Top of the page. Okay, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next one covers a lot of area. It starts on line 91 and runs through 147. Essentially, this is a net zero supplemental. It reallocates funding for various projects in the Village Safe Water Program. It will allow us to close out a number of old projects or projects that the funding has not been forthcoming from the federal government. And it will allow us to go further down the prioritization list and finish out some projects that that's going to need additional funding.
Any questions regarding Environmental Conservation's presentation? The one that I have is on section 15. These were dollars that were not included in the climate. No, it's all right.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
I don't have any questions.
Oh, okay.
Senator Stedman.
Yeah, I'd like that clarified, Mr. Chairman. Item 15, as far as, I guess, the timing of the issue.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman. The timing will be over the next 2 years. We've asked for an extended lapse date on this that takes us through next fiscal year. So this amount of money we plan on using over the 2 year period.
Mr. Chairman, this item 15 for $230,000. Are we on the
yes,
right
sir.
Item?
Yes.
I guess the question is, why wouldn't this be in the regular operating budget?
I think because we're already spending our regular operating funds in a small amount on this project.
So what hardship, Mr. Chairman, if I could get a hardship, what hardship is this going to be to the department to run it through the regular budgeting cycle versus?
There may not be.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two questions. Mike, the first one, again, back to line 15. I mean, this was a work group that was established by the governor, includes other departments. Are other departments contributing at all to the cost of the commission, or are you doing chargebacks to other departments or to the governor's office who established the
Through the chair, Senator Elton. I've got Tom Chappell online. If I could go to him and ask him to answer that question.
Tom Chappell?
Mr. Are you online? Chairman, this is Tom Chappell here for the record. I'm the director of the Air Quality Division at DEC, and I'm assisting Commissioner Hardik on this project. In response to Senator Elton's question, there are several other agencies involved in the sub-cabinet's work. Those other agencies are making some in-kind commitments to this project, just the same as DEC is doing. But this supplemental request is largely to support contractual work that would help the work group effort go forward, and this general fund request would leverage other grant funds. The total of the effort would be considerably more than the $230,000 by use of the grant funds. And so the total consequence of the work group effort would have a far more significant impact on DEC and the other agencies if it was not funded separately.
If I could just follow up, Mr. Chair. I mean, clearly, when the task force was put together, this sub-cabinet working or this cabinet working group was ordered by the governor's office. Is that correct? Is my history correct?
Through the chair, Senator Elvin, yes, the governor signed Administrative Order 238 in September of this year, creating the subcabinet for the climate change, for developing a climate change strategy for the state.
And Mr. Chappell, with the permission of the chair, I mean, when the governor did that administrative order, I mean, did she analyze or did anybody analyze the fiscal impacts of the working group?
Chair, Senator Elton, no, not at the time. It was impossible to judge the full scope of the work that would be involved, and so that's only come to light in the last few months as the subcabinet has met several times to figure out how to best develop this strategy and how to enlist various perspectives across the state in a work group process.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got one other question on another topic.
On this topic, Mr. Chappell, is it envisioned that there will be further requests in FY 2010 on this as a result of the work group?
Mr. Chairman, this request is expected to cover the needs for the work group process to complete its draft strategy to the governor. So while there may be the outcome of that strategy may result in other budget requests in future years, this request is all that we envision needing to complete the work of the subcabinet developing the strategy.
Thank you. Senator Elton.
On this.
Senator Stedman.
On this subject, Mr. Chairman, could we go through our records and have the copy of the letter that was sent to us from the administration notifying the two finance committees that there was going to be an appropriation request coming outside of the regular budgetary cycle for a creation of an entity by the governor?
We'll have our staff do that, Senator Stedman. Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mike, I'm going to page 9, line 90. Now, if you don't know the answer to this now, it would be helpful if you could provide it to me and or perhaps through the chair. Of the $2.8 million that you're seeking from the commercial passenger vessel fund, how much of that will go to the contractor and how much of that will cover staff costs?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I believe I've got Lynn Kent on the line and she may very well have those numbers.
Are you in line?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Lynn Kent. I'm the director for the Division of Water Quality at DEC. Of the budget for the current fiscal year, a little under $400,000 is allocated for DEC staff and other minor contracts. The bulk of the funding is for the Ocean Ranger contract.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Kent, is that $400,000 from the $4 million total that would come about if the $2.8 million is approved, or is that $400,000 off the $2.8
million? Senator Elton, through the chair, we have in the current budget already authorized for the current fiscal year about $1.2 million. Combined with this supplemental, that's $4 million, and the DEC staff costs and other small contractual costs for the fiscal year is a portion of that $4
million. A $400,000 portion?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Elton. Senator Stedman.
On this subject, Mr. Chairman, I think reflecting back on a previous update we had here at the committee, I think it was yourself that asked some of the questions on the constitutional obligations involved in this program. And we just need to flush that out, that we're meeting those obligations, that we're not implementing something that obviously is in violation of our duties here. And then keep an eye on this, that the appropriation actually does what it's intended to do, and it's not breached in the dollar amount.
Yes, Senator Stedman. Excuse me. Further questions for environmental conservation? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next department, Health and Social Services.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Laura Baker. I'm the Acting Deputy Director for Finance and Accountability of Health and Social Services. Starting with line 16 on your spreadsheet, the department's requesting $1,456.3, made up of $656.3 in general funds and $800,000 in receipt-supported services. This request is to fund additional bed days or days of service for foster care children, foster care homes. And the receipt support services are funds that are coming back in from Child Support Enforcement Division as part of the federal guidelines. The second request we have is an increase for special needs in foster care. This also is due to a higher foster care caseload than what we've seen in the past. This request is for $699.8. made up of $622.8 in general fund match and $77,000 in federal. The next item is for replacement of lost federal funds in the total of $17,062.3 for our Medicaid refinancing program that we called Fair or ProShare. Basically, the state started this process in state fiscal year 04. The good news is that over a two-year period, we saved $40 million in general funds for the state. The bad news is the federal government disagrees that this was the proper procedure to, they disagree with the regulation finding that we had that we can actually maximize federal receipts through this process. So this request is replacing the lost funds related to state fiscal year 08, and later on we'll talk about a smaller adjustment for state fiscal year 07 where we did not receive the federal funds. And then this will be the end of that particular program. The next item we have is increased operating costs for the Nome Youth Facility. The total is $150,000. $70,000 of that is personal services and $80,000 of that is in the contractual line. The Nome Youth Facility has a higher level of operating costs due to fuel and other issues, as well as when we did the expansion, we might not have built in the total operating costs that we needed to at that point for other costs. And they also need the $70,000 to maintain their full staff for that facility. The next request we have is increased medical costs for youth. This is in the Johnson Youth Center for $250,000. However, the funding is actually spread among five youth centers. That'd be McLaughlin, Fairbanks, Bethel, Nome, and Johnson. Again, these are for increased medical costs for the juveniles that are in the facilities, above and beyond the regular operating costs for the division. The next item we have is in probation services in the Juvenile Justice Division. This is a fund source change. We're replacing $600,000 in lost federal receipts with $600,000 in general funds. In our FY08 budget that we put forth for the legislature's consideration, we had hoped to be able to bring in federal receipts as part of a federal targeted case management procedure. The federal government, Health and Human Services, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid have ratcheted down states that are able to, or the cost that states are able to claim under that targeted case management. So at this point, we're trying to make the division whole to continue their operating cost. The next request is court-ordered costs for probation services and juvenile justice. These are for costs that are outside the normal operating for the division. A few years ago, Senator Green had actually proposed that the division propose these as supplemental requests similar to Department of Law judgments and claims. And that has worked out both, I think, well for both the legislature and the administration. At this point, the estimated costs are about $221,000 for the year. This is similar to previous year's requests. The next item on the spreadsheet, line 23, excuse me, is an increase in statutory designated program receipt authority for the Women and Infants Children Program and Public Assistance. These are for infant formula rebates. It's a one-for-one. If we sell the package, we get reimbursed for it. Or provide it, then we get reimbursed. The next item is on line 24 of your spreadsheet. It says increase receipt-supported services for the certification licensing component for their background check unit. The background check unit is seeing a higher level of requests coming through than we had originally anticipated. In preparing our FY08 budget, we thought that they'd process approximately 14,000 background check applications. As of the end of August, they had processed 23,009, and as the end of December, they'd processed 29,568. Again, these receipts are paying for the service. Most of these receipts get RSA'd over to the Department of Public Safety for the actual fingerprinting. Moving forward in your spreadsheet to line 80. The department's requesting a delete ad supplemental for the Alaska Psychiatric Institute. Alaska Psychiatric Institute has been receiving they've enhanced the revenue coming in through third-party payers, including Medicare, due to some federal regulation changes. This proposal would reduce the general fund mental health by $850,000 and increase statutory designated receipts by $850,000. The next item is on line 85 in your spreadsheet. This is a capital request of more of those statutory designated program receipts that API is bringing in. The project that's laid out here is that we would add these funds to a current capital project that was funding the electronic medical record system that was funded through a capital project a couple years ago, and additionally add some enhanced modules to that system to help track nursing overtime and other operational issues that can increase receipts and also efficiencies at API. And then moving forward on page 13 of your spreadsheet, line 148. This request is for $18,492.1 in general funds. I want to, on behalf of the department and the seniors, thank the legislature for passing Senate Bill 4 during special session in June. The senior benefits program was established at that time to continue into or start, replace, whatever the correct terminology would be, to the senior care program that had sunsetted previously. These funds are reflect the estimate of the fiscal note that was prepared as an informational fiscal note during special session, and based on current projections, we still feel that our projection is on track. Jumping to page 18, line 199. First, I want to address line 199 through 202. The department has four ratifications here for Division of Public Health and related to unbudgeted RSAs. Basically, in the accounting system, the department had chosen to have a administratively separate appropriation structure than the normal operating for unbudgeted RSAs. During the year-end closeout and after that, we had some miscommunications and timing issues that basically the RSAs were closed out or the billings came in later, and we now have no administrative way of fixing this without legislative ratification. The programs that the public health divisions that this happened in on the budgeting side actually have enough general funds to cover this, but again, we don't have the administrative fix without your approval of these ratifications. The next ratification we have is a total of $25,141,116. This is for the healthcare services Medicaid component, and these are all general funds. This goes to the FY06 ratification related to ProShare. In FY06, that was one of the years that the feds have turned down our claims for our ProShare grant refinancing. So we're asking the legislature to ratify the $21,357.99. It's important to note with the ratification that we are carrying accounts receivable on the accounting system because we thought we would get the federal receipts. These payments have been made, so once we get a ratification, the receivable will come off. These are no general funds. The state has already been spent out of the state. The money has already been spent out of the state treasury. Another part of that $25 million is $3,784.17. This relates to Indian Health Services referrals. The department felt strongly that if somebody had gone to an Indian Health Service provider and that provider referred that individual to a normal hospital, that the state should be able to claim 100% reimbursable from the feds. The federal government just recently, well, not just recently, but has disagreed with that in three or four states. And at this time, we feel that we don't have any recourse for appeal, and we're asking for ratification of those payments as well. The next ratification we have is for $4,350,407 general funds and the healthcare services Medicaid component, again for the ProShare ratification. This is a smaller amount in 07. We were able to cover the remaining part of those general funds during year-end closeout. I think it's important on the ProShare refinancing to mention that both the legislature and the administration were aware of the risk for these years that we did do this refinancing. So this isn't something the department went forward with without agreement with the legislature. The last ratification we have relates to the Women's and Adolescent Services component for $231,500 general funds. This is a year-end closeout issue where after the reappropriation period closed the end of August, where we felt we did have these federal revenues coming in, we found that we had basically over-collected the federal receipts, and as such, then we were pushed into a shortfall. And again, this component, within the appropriate overall appropriation for the RDU, there is enough to cover that shortfall in general funds, which have already been spent. So if we were able to fix it, we would.
Thank you, Ms. Baker, for your presentation on the supplemental for health and social services. Or do we have questions? Senator Stedman.
Could we get maybe a little broader response as far as yours is the impact that we're having to backfill the issues that you just rattled through, and so we can get a feel here at the committee if this is just a one-year backfill or we're walking forward into multi-year?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, are you talking about the ratifications or all of the items?
Pretty much all the items.
Okay, I can say that the Office of Management and Budget is considering budget amendments for FY09 that will bring our foster care base rate proposal, the foster care special needs proposal, and the targeted case managed proposal for probation services in line. A couple of these other requests for the youth facilities are already included in the FY09 budget.
Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, just as a general note, when we're now working under 90 days versus 120 days, I see there's some of these capital requests and other items within the supplemental. I would like the department to try to zero in on why some of these are in the supplemental versus the regular capital budget or operating budget, in particular with the shortened cycle we're under 90 days.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I think my response to that would be that even though you have a shortened session, if some of these supplementals are not approved, there need to be management decisions made ahead of time as to how we can ratchet back on our current year spending so as not to spend more than we have. That could involve layoffs, it could involve limiting. We would just have to make those management decisions. This allows us more time to do that. The capital item for API is in the supplemental because they have a contract to purchase the electronic medicals records, and without that additional funding, they cannot fully implement that.
Senator Stedman?
I don't know what our final schedule is going to be doing the supplemental, when we're going to be done with that. Clearly, we're going to have an operating and a capital budget done within 90 days. And we're on track to do that. If we did the supplemental budget halfway through, we're looking at a 45-day discrepancy maximum plus some time for the governor to sign, of course. So it's not a full 90-day window here. It's substantially shorter than that. And I think we should try to have as accurate operating and capital budgets as possible and bare minimum in our supplemental. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Further questions on Health and Social Services? Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Baker, back to line 20. Don't we create some problems if in fact you've got under the RDU or component Johnson Youth Center, and then the descriptive language talks about medical costs for services provided at the facility? I mean, why don't we have language that reflects that this is actually going statewide to several different youth facilities? It just seems to me you're creating a situation in which somebody can come back and say, hey, where's the $250,000 the legislature approved for Johnson Youth Facility?
Through the chair, Senator Elton, in the backup material, it does provide the breakdown for each of those facilities. I think that coming in one facility is for ease of your folks' review. That's four less items that we need to break out. I can read off the specific dollar amount.
You don't need to read it off. My concern, Mr. Chair, is people look at this and they see, oh, this is for Juneau, and it's obviously not for Juneau.
It's not, and the backup reflects that.
On line 21, Mr. Chair, Ms. Baker, $600,000 replace uncollectible federal funding for targeted case management. How much of that, $600,000 is how much, what percentage of the budget is that for targeted case management?
The issue is the targeted case management, through the chair. The $600,000 that we cut in general funds in the budget in FY08 was basically the portion that we thought we could collect in federal funds related to case management in the youth facilities through probation officers for those juvenile that are Medicaid eligible. And so I can't give you the specific dollar, but obviously it was about $1.2 million that we estimated, just looking at it as a 50-50.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. On section 16, regarding foster care base rate, we are, we are requesting additional funds for receipt services. Why at this time are you in need of general funds as well?
Mr. Chairman, the general funds, it's a combined proposal here. The caseload is increasing, plus we are seeing an increase in the CSED receipts that are coming back in to cover those state costs for children that have parents that are paying child support.
Thank you. Further questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Baker, thank you for presenting this budget to me. Under 18, Section 18, $17 million is being requested to, in the last section, I guess, is needed to go ahead and continue the grants to community service providers there, and I was wondering who these providers were exactly, or which service providers are we exactly taking care of?
Through the chairman, Senator Olson, I don't have the list with me, but we have basically what we did in state fiscal year 04 is we reduced general funds in grant programs in behavioral health, senior and services disabilities, a small amount in Office of Children's Services, and some in public health. And we can provide an example of the list of grantees, for instance, in 08 that were covered with ProShare funds at the beginning of the year. Basically, those budget reductions were taken in grant programs, then they sent the match over to the Medicaid program so that the 100% funding went out. Now that we're not getting those federal funds, those grant programs are not fully funded to continue maintain the service level we have today.
I guess specifically, Mr. Chairman, are the community health centers part of these service providers?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I will need to check, but there may be a couple.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Further questions regarding health and social services?
Mr. Chairman, if I
Baker.
Could if I could add just sort of in a follow-up to Senator Stedman's earlier statement, the one supplemental in here that is really time sensitive is the senior benefits. The process we're using for that the legislature is apprised of in June is that we're borrowing money from the Adult Public Assistance Program. If we do not get the supplemental, then both programs are going to run out of money at the end of this month.
Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, I'm under the impression that the legislature was in cahoots with the administration in a special session to take care of that issue, and I think it could be reasonably expected that the legislature will look favorably on funding our seniors.
I think the funding question is not in doubt. I think what Ms. Baker is saying, that there may be a cash flow problem.
Yes, sir.
Further questions for Health and Social Services? Thank you, Mr. Baker. Going to the next department. We have law.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Craig Tillery. I'm the Deputy Attorney General for the Civil Division of the Department of Law. The first item that we have on our list is on page 3, line 25. It is an amount of money. The Department of Law received a sort of combination supplemental and then regular budget for FY08 last year for oil and gas projects, including the natural gas pipeline. Recently, we discovered that there was an unfunded need for approximately $3 million in order to do a financial analysis of the gas pipeline proposals. The Department of Law will RSA that $3 million to the Department of Natural Resources in order to do that analysis. That leaves us with an unfunded amount for our regular oil and gas cases that we're doing. Right now we are on budget, and in fact we're a little bit under budget as a result of the settlement of one of our cases. We believe that we are $1.25 million under, which rather than leaving us a need of $3 million, leaves us a need of only $1.75 million. The next item is on page 17. It is line 180. Those are the judgment and claims. The judgment and claims this year that we've gotten so far that you should have are relatively small. We only have really four at this point. All of those involve attorney's fees judgments by the Superior Court or the Supreme Court. What is, I think, interesting about those, there's a little bit different from last year. All of these have been reduced from the amount that was originally requested. That reduction in three of the cases was a result of the law this legislature passed that limited public interest litigant fees. The next item is amounts necessary for additional judgments to be awarded. I know we've got at least two that are being processed right now. One of those will be for significantly more money in excess of $700,000. But we don't have those, we don't have that paperwork completed. I only got that one on Friday. The next two items are really relate to our criminal division, and Mr. Slobodny will be up here and explain those. And then the final item, which is again on page 17, line 184, is additional money for the Native Village of Kiryong B. State. It is a case with the Office of Children's Services in which four tribes are suing the state over alleged violations of various state, but primarily federal laws. It involves about 120 children. It is very work intensive. We've received 95 pages of document requests. We have a number of depositions and so forth. We anticipate this will go to trial over the next year and a half. We are asking for $500,000, anticipating at least $200,000 will be expended during this fiscal year, and another $300,000 in the next fiscal year. The case is significant in that it is asking for a court-appointed, essentially a tribal ombudsman, to to be to preside over the department's provision of those services. And with that, I'll ask Mr. Savadny to.
Good morning. My name is Rick Sabodny. I'm the Deputy Attorney General for the Criminal Division. I'm on the same page as Mr. Tillery just left you. Item 182 is a bill that we received 8 months ago from a case that was in 2006, and we didn't have any authorization to pay that. It's a little over $3,000 to, I guess when you get these nationally known experts, they don't think that their bills need to come in on time. This was a murder case where the question was competency. The other item is item 183, and that's for authorization to spend $937,000 that the state received in grant violence against women to encourage arrest to enforce protective orders. It funds positions in the second, third, and fourth judicial districts. The primary focus here is rural. It would be funding a paralegal and an attorney in Bethel, half-time paralegal in Barrow, and a paralegal in our rural prosecution unit, which is actually located in Anchorage, but goes basically all communities that's the off-the-road system. It would also fund a person who was dedicated to dealing with violence against women type issues, domestic violence, sexual assault in our Office of Special Prosecution and Appeals to do appeals.
Thank you both for your presentations. The supplemental regarding the Department of Law, questions? Senator Elton.
Thank you. Question for Mr. Svobodny, and back to line 183 on page 17. I mean, is there a reason that First Judicial District isn't included in that grant?
Through the Chair, Senator Elkin, no. There's no particular reason. Actually, the Rural Prosecution Unit has spent a lot of time in Southeast Alaska with three murder trials that occurred out of Petersburg in the last year. So the money comes here. So those people are physically located in Anchorage.
Perhaps, Mr. Chair, we don't need to get to the root of this, but I'd like some more information. I mean, it just seems to me that we've got grant dollars that are going to all of the judicial districts except for the First Judicial District, I understand that some of it may be washed through Anchorage, but I would assume if that's the case, that, you know, the same thing would happen with other rural judicial districts also. So if somebody could follow up with me, I'd appreciate it.
Further questions?
To the chair, we'll do that.
Senator Stedman, then Senator Huggins.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hopefully the follow-up, Mr. Chairman, will be, you know, through the chairman, and so we all get that information. It's kind of odd that First Judicial District, you know, isn't included, and we do have issues here in the First Judicial District along with the second, third, and fourth. A question on judgments. When there's a judgment against a state, does the other party expect us then to go out of our way through the appropriation process to pay that, or do they expect a normal appropriation calendar concerning the budgets to take care of their settlement issue?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, to my experience, this has always been done through the supplemental. We sort of gather the budget and the judgments as they come in. Whatever we have available when we get to about this point in the process, we will put in here. The legislature appropriates it, and then we receive an amount to cover the remaining budget items. We get a judgment, we are ordered by a court to pay it, and then typically the other party will inquire as to whether we are going to get that paid this year. Oftentimes, in fact, the ability to put these into the supplemental is, or to otherwise pay them out of this year's fiscal funds, is an inducement to settle, and the state can actually get some relatively good arrangements or settlements as a result of the ability to get people money now rather than later.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Further questions? Senator Huggins.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Tillery, on item 25, page 3. Language talks about TransCanada proposal. The value that the state's financial interests are being met. My question for you, is this information available to the legislature, or is it limited? I mean, we asked to be paid for it.
Through the chair, Senator, Lita Simon from DNR is here and is available to answer questions about what will happen with this information.
Right.
So I would defer to her.
State your name for the record. And
thank you for the record. My name is Lita Simons. I'm the Support Services Director for the Department of Natural Resources. And through the chair, in answer to your question, Senator Huggins, this information will be made available. The stage we're at now in the AGIA evaluation process is that the professionals, contractors are being hired for various aspects, risk analysis. This contract happened to be the financial analysis. And there is, once all of this information is compiled, it will be converted into English, hopefully that most people can understand, and presented to the legislature through the Commissioners of Revenue and Natural Resources.
Yep.
Senator Huggins.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I mean, just for the record, I would emphasize timeliness of that so that, I mean, the earliest possible the time that the legislature can have, you know, the benefit of the information since we're being asked to pay for it. Thank you.
Yes. On this item, did not we appropriate right around $21 million?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. And we're pretty much on that budget, as I indicated, with slightly going under it. This is not an item that we anticipated and budgeted for at the time that we did that. But otherwise, that budget is holding up pretty well.
Thank you. Senator Stedman?
Well, just as a point, Mr. Chairman, I think as we go down the road, it'd be nice for the Department of Law to always try to separate our gas line endeavor from other issues like taxes and royalty collections and a few things like that. So it's easy for the legislature to keep an eye on how much expenditures we're directing towards the gas line and then the benefit. And then we could also make it easier to keep a clear target on the taxes and royalty issues, which are a whole different ball game.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, Senator, and as in the ongoing budget process, we are attempting to delineate those as we go as to how much for these general categories, tariffs, taxes versus gas line and so forth. But thank you. We'll keep that in mind.
Thank you, Senator Stedman.
Just as a quick follow-up, there is a letter dated February 6th to the other finance committee that lays some of that out. So if we don't have copies of that, we'll make sure everybody here has copies of that letter.
Again, thank you, Senator Stedman. Further questions on the Department of Law? Thank you both for your presentation.
Thank you.
Brings us to Natural Resources.
Thank you. The first item under Natural Resources Supplemental is item number 26, and this is supplemental request for $110,000. This is the cost to implement the ACES fiscal note having to do with two oil and gas revenue audit master exempt positions. And this amount is reduced from the original fiscal note down to $110,000 in anticipation that these positions won't be filled until April 1st. That's our goal. And there's a fiscal year 09 budget also contains a related increase for these positions. Item number 27, a supplemental request for $109,200 is to for a letter of grievance revolution over implementation of the forest technician class study. The supplemental request funds a letter of grievance between the state of, and the Alaska State Employees Association related to step placement for employees during implementation of a classification study for forestry-specific job classes. The next item for the Department of Natural Resources is item number 86 on page 9. This is a capital request to allow us to collect statutory designated program receipts from the Friends of Eagle River Nature Center. They've received HUD funding to build a new visitor center at this location, and they are asking, we are asking for the money so that we can start on the design and construction portion of that for them, since that's where our expertise lies in this area. The last item for Department of Natural Resources is item number 198 on page 18. This is a request for ratification for the fiscal year 07 for fire suppression activity in the amount of $7,055,162.87. Any questions?
Thank you for your presentation of the supplemental request for do we have any questions on this department? Any questions?
Yes.
Yes, Senator Steadman.
Item 27. The grievance procedure. Why would we not put that in the regular operating budget?
Because these are services that took place, that are paying for services for fiscal year 08 and actually back to fiscal year 07. So it's just matching it up with the period of time for the personal services.
So if we move this to the operating budget, what part of the world is going to end?
Through the chair, the operating budget is for expenses incurred during fiscal year 09, and that's my best answer on that.
Well, I understand what the operating budget is. I got no problem comprehending that. Mr. Chairman?
Senator Steadman.
Item 86 on the capital request for the Eagle River design study. Again, you know, well, one thing, it's a capital item in this bill, which is kind of a red flag to start with. But what hardship is going to be produced if we move this to the regular capital bill? That would warrant it being in a supplemental.
Through the chair, we were asked to try to expedite this so that they could get the design started as soon as possible in the early part of the season. This funding from the HUD funding that the Friends of the Eagle River Nature Center has received has an expiration date, and when they drew out the timeline, they were hoping that they could start this work as soon as possible.
Senator Steadman?
Well, it sounds to me, Mr. Chairman, like it's a convenience issue, and I think as we go through and we work on the next couple years, cleaning up the budget process and the sources of funds issue that we've mentioned here at the table, along with other issues to make the budget more transparent and easier to follow from the average Alaskan, I think we need to concentrate our supplemental on hardship issues versus issues of convenience. And it's not that this project isn't worthy. I'm sure it's a worthy project, or it wouldn't even be in here to start with. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we should be using this budget as a stopgap measure to block undue hardship on our citizens between now and the 30th of June. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Sedman. Further questions of DNR? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the same item, $117,000 for it. You say there was a deadline that the preservation fund or something had to try and abide by in order to get the full funding for the project?
Through the chair, the issue is the timeline of getting this project completed, and so when they ran the timeline out, they really would like to start as soon as possible on the design phase so that they are able to complete all the portions from the HUD grant that they have before that grant expires.
How long have they known about the deadline?
I believe we were informed of this in November.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions on DNR? Seeing none, thank you for your presentation of the supplemental. We just have a few minutes. Maybe we could take, if they're available, take up education. We have just a couple of items.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mark Lewis. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Education and Early Development. If you please direct your attention to lines 77, 78, and 79 on page 8. What these items are related to is during the FY 2008 budget process, a series of transactions were recorded to adjust funding related to the teacher's retirement system within the Student and School Achievement, Head Start, and Mount Edgecombe Boarding School components. These transactions inadvertently removed general funds from the base numbers, and these supplemental items correct the transactions and the associated funding sources. For each component, Student and School Achievement, the net amount is $388 general fund. For Head Start, it's $6,000. And for Mount Edgecombe High School, it's $331.2. If you please turn to page 16, line 177 of the spreadsheet. The School Performance Incentive Program was established under AS 1403-126 as a three-year pilot program, and it's currently in the second year, FY 2008, with a budget of $2.5 million. The FY 2008 budget request originally was $5.8 million, but it was reduced during the last session by $3.3 million because as a new program, the actual costs associated with the School Performance Incentive Awards could not be projected with total accuracy. The Finance Subcommittees recommended reviewing this request in the FY 2009 budget cycle. This language section provides the mechanism to fund this pilot program in order to distribute the awards as intended within the established statutory limits. The estimated additional funding required for the distribution of the awards is projected to be $1.6 million.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis, for your presentation on the supplemental for education. Do we have any questions on this department? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll try to get through Fish and Game, Labor, and the Governor's Office, since they're very small.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. My name is Tom Lawson, Admin Services Director for Fish and Game. We have one item, which is on page 16. It's item 178. It's actually section 23 of the bill. And what this language section does is actually fix a cash flow issue that we have. We're asking for this language section to allow unspent indirect revenue to be carried forward into the next fiscal year without any increase in authorization. What it does is basically allow the indirect revenue to more evenly be spread between the various fiscal years. We also have similar language in the FY09 budget. As you probably know, indirect funds cover the general admin order admin overhead, and they're charged to federal grants, and they're put in place with a annual indirect rate plan that's actually federally approved. Our issue is that most of the spending of our federal grants comes in the field season, so we don't get to charge the indirect rate until the money has actually been spent. So as we ramp up in the field season, we have pretty large expenditures which come at the end of the fiscal year, so it's hard to judge exactly how much cash we're going to be getting in. So this will actually allow us to smooth out the revenue flow. So anyway, that's it. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your presentation on Fish and Game. Do we have any questions on this item? Senator Huggins.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's not on that line item, but it's your program overall. In the Matsu Valley is a river called the Deshka.
Uh-huh.
There's a weir there, and I understand that Fish and Game had cut that weir out. To fix that, is this where you would do that, or is it fixed someplace else in the budget?
Through the Chair, Senator Huggins, we're well aware of this issue, and it's my understanding that we're making efforts to address that through either a capital budget item or rearranging existing revenues to cover the cost of operation of that weir.
And what's your decision cycle, excuse me, Mr. Chair, what's your decision cycle on that?
I don't know. I'll have to get back with you on that.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. Okay. I mean, there's some people anxiously waiting an answer to that question.
Okay.
Further questions on the one supplemental for Fish and Game? Senator Stedman.
Kind of a off note here, but maybe they can make a brief comment on the federal fund withdrawal out of the regular operating budget. People around the state are very concerned about that. The $7.5 million.
Sure. Well,
I know this isn't quite the spot, but
the federal fund shortfall that was anticipated.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, the federal budget, federal fiscal year FY08 budget was passed in January with $7.5 million being cut out of the money that NOAA brings to Fish and Game annually. So we've been dealing with OMB on how to address that, and the governor's amended budget, which I understand is going to be released on Wednesday, will actually address the issues.
Thank you. We have, if possible, two more departments. I hear the bells ringing if labor is here.
Good morning. I'm Guy. I'm Assistant Commissioner, Department of Labor and Workforce Development. We have just one item on page 17, line 24. In our commissioner's office, and it is a lapse date extension request. In this fiscal year, we received $850,000 to prepare the workforce training requirement required under the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act. The commissioner has convened a steering committee and has
take a break and take a breath and tell us what line item in the spreadsheet it's on so we can follow.
Sure. Page 17, line 179. Senator Stedman?
178.
Mine is on
178.
Oh, I'm sorry.
178. The spreadsheet is Fish and Game.
Right.
I must be looking at the wrong spreadsheet.
Please continue.
179.
Yeah. Correct. It's a Department of Labor Commissioner's Office, a request to extend a fiscal note appropriation in the amount of $850,000. We estimate we will have a balance of $250,000 at the end of this fiscal year. We're using that funding to develop the training program required under the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act. And the initial report will be released this week, and we will be providing copies of that to the legislature. It's a phase one of our training program, and then with the additional funding, we are working on the more detailed workforce training plan.
Questions on this supplemental request? Seeing none, thank you, and we'll have the governor's office, and then we'll take it at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gail Funumiai from the Division of Elections. I'd like you to turn to page 15, section 161. The Division of Elections is requesting in the FY08 supplemental budget a total of $584.1 in general funds and $120.1 in CIP receipts from the Help America Vote Act. The division has seen an increased workload over the years, and we are requesting 3 new base operating support staff positions and 26 temporary positions for petition processing, which is currently ongoing at this time, in anticipation of certifying 3 petitions for the upcoming election ballots. In addition to starting our work on the primary and general elections early, we are requesting additional funds for contractual items for printing forms and training costs. Funding for expenses incurred for the Deltanian Corporation election, the REAA number 18 recall election, and the upcoming Wrangell Incorporation election, and $20,000 associated with legal costs for the NIC case, which is ongoing at this time. An increased base operating costs of $7,000 for postage and $23.5 for maintenance and leasing, and $30.1 for office and storage space increased costs.
Do we have any questions on the one supplemental request from the governor's office? Seeing none, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just what's the 3 additional positions will give you a total of how many positions?
A total division-wide?
Right.
I think it would be 20 full-time? 33 PFTs? 33 permanent full-time positions, including some that are funded with federal funds.
Further questions? Seeing none, we'll take it at ease. Come back to order. We still have several departments, public safety, transportation, university, and others. So we're going to recess at this time and reconvene tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, finish up the rest of the schedule. With that, we're in recess till tomorrow morning.